We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome in, Upstate listeners, to Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate. I am Josh Phillips. Thought that the Sturge Man would be back today. Obviously, he will be back tomorrow. So I will be sitting in for Mark today. And then I think everything will be back on schedule with him in the chair. Hope everybody had an outstanding weekend. I know I did. We're getting closer and closer to the start of the football season. Today's show, we're going to talk some. Last week, we got into a lot of college football, of course, with SEC Media Days, ACC Media Days, obviously in their throes. So we had a lot of guests on in order to talk about both of those, and they did an outstanding job. Today's show is going to be more geared towards the NFL. We're going to take a look around the NFC. The NFC, in my opinion, is arguably the most competitive. I mean, the AFC, it starts with the New England Patriots. And the question is, can anybody unseat the Patriots? And this year might be the best year to have done that. We'll discuss that as well. I also want to get in and talk a lot about the Carolina Panthers. The Carolina Panthers, I'm expecting a big year from, and there's a reason for that. Even though the NFC is extremely competitive, there's literally five teams that could come out of the NFC and go to the Super Bowl. I really believe that. The AFC, not so much. There's two, maybe, if that, with New England and Kansas City. Other than that, that's about all you've got. The NFC, a lot more competitive. On the way in, I was listening to Offsides with Mark Ryan and Lonzo, you know, and one of the things they were talking about was the attendance or the lack thereof or the decline of in college football. And I know Mark played the Pat Fitzgerald clip. I saw the same clip. I thought it was very interesting, but I thought there was a point that Pat Fitzgerald missed. And I understand his surmise about cell phones. I mean, look, we've all been out to dinner and we've all seen what he was talking about with couples not conversing on their phones. I just had a big family get together where my relatives from the Northeast came down. My cousin, who's 23, him and his new bride are getting ready to welcome a new child into the world, their 2-year-old daughter, Caroline, is with them, and now they're getting ready to have their second child. And literally the whole time they were on their phones. Now, they were supposed to be on vacation. And a lot of it is they were talking to each other because they were around family that they didn't feel comfortable just talking around. And so they basically text the whole time. And I know it kind of ticked my mother off. My mother's kind of old school, and when you're around family, then you be where your feet are. And you converse and you talk and you build those relationships because you don't get to see that. You don't get to see each other all that much. But see, there's something about millennials that I think people my age and older don't understand. They are a lot more, and the only reason I know this is I've got a brother that's 23. So he's dead in the middle of the millennial. He could be the president of the millennials, along with three of my cousins that are in that early 20s. I mean, slap in the middle of the millennial situation. And those guys are a lot more cognizant of their time. Meaning, and I think this is the problem where college football the millennials, think about it. Let me pose this question. How much is it to go to a Clemson football game now? Sit in the TDK section, the nosebleed. Go to Williams-Brice. Sit in the 900 section. It's going to cost you about $40. So if you're a millennial, you're in your early 20s, and you've got you, your wife, girlfriend, whatever, maybe a child or two, and you're going to go to a major college football game, okay? Well, most of the college football games start between 1 and 3:30 on the East Coast. So think about this. On a Saturday, if you're a young family, I don't think the money's the issue because those guys spend money like water. All right, they're going to spend money on what they want to spend money on. So I don't necessarily think it's a money thing. I think with millennials, it's more of a time thing. They don't want to spend all day on one event. Meaning they don't want, if Clemson's playing at 3:30 or if Clemson is playing at 1 o'clock, same thing for South Carolina, millennials don't want to have to get up on a Saturday at 6, 7 o'clock in the morning, put together a meal that they're going to have to put into a cooler, then load up, drive to a spot, put up a tent. It's too much work because everything they do is efficient. Their time is efficient. Their food is efficient. Their work is efficient. And they just don't see the need of literally taking all day to go to one event when they can watch that one event when it comes on television and then go do 9,000 other things. See, here's the thing that millennials are at that's better than any other group in our country's history. And that's multitasking. Well, why is that? Because they do it on their phones all the time. And if something, studies have shown that if you can't keep a kid's attention for more than 5 minutes, you're lost them. They're done. They're going to move on to something else. Because that's what, and I think that ultimately is, and he didn't word it very right. He didn't word it right, but I think that's the thesis that Pat Fitzgerald was trying to make about phones and about everything about that goes with cell phones, is that with millennials, I mean, they're constantly coming up with new apps. My brother is texting me, hey, bro, did you see this? Did you see that? I mean, my goodness, I haven't signed up for it, but there's this app that you can send cash called Venmo. And I'm like, well, where'd the cash come from? Where's it going? Now, an old codger like me, I'm scared to death of Venmo. Because I'm thinking to myself, so I'm going to put my bank information on an app that's on a cloud that's available for anybody. I mean, heck, we couldn't keep votes away from the Saudis and the Russians. What the heck are we going to do with a bank account? And so, I don't necessarily think that millennials don't like college football. I mean, my cousins, I mean, that's all we talk about. We talk about the Patriots. We talk about the Gamecocks. We talk about Clemson. We talk about the NFC. I mean, we talk football all the time. But when it comes to doing the tradition that is college football, and Pat Fitzgerald said it, but I don't think he expounded on it enough when he talked about the pageantry and the devotion to the day that is college football. Think about it. College football, when I was growing up, was bigger than Sunday going to church. And that's in the South. And people in the South understand how church is. But let me tell you something. You didn't sleep in on Saturdays when your team played at 1 o'clock. You were ready to go. You were up early. You're cooking. Football in the South, college football in the South, it is a religion. How many people, and I'll pose this question. How many people wake up on Sunday morning and put more time into going to church than you do going to a college football game? I'll wait. And see, to me, that's the difference in the millennial situation and the decline of college football is because it's an all-day job. And you've got to work at it. You got to put food together. You got to put meals together. The money isn't the issue. It's the time. Millennials do not want to be tied down. I mean, my cousins drove me bananas. We're playing at Thornblade. And my two cousins drove me and my uncles bananas because the whole time we're out there playing golf, they're on their phone either talking to their wives, talking to work. I mean, they were doing stuff that was productive. In between shots, boom, right back on their phone with something that's going on in their lives. And see, that's the issue that Pat Fitzgerald is saying is, see, phones connect us to everything that goes on in our lives now. From our relationships to our finances to, heck, they've got a Bible app. You want to go to church? Look up the Bible app. You got one. You want to watch a football game? Go to the NFL app. I've got it. I can watch every game every Saturday, and I don't have to be at the stadium. It's free on Verizon. I've got it on mine. If you subscribe to ESPN, which most millennials do, you can put up your college football game. You're watching it while you're doing work or something else. So see, it's not necessarily the device. It's not necessarily the money. It's the time management. People don't want, like when I sit down to watch a game, and I said this on the show, I am intentionally going to go. I'm going to try to go to at least one Clemson game and one South Carolina game. And I love to go because I get to get off of my phone. That for 4 hours or whenever it does. Now, I don't do the whole tailgate thing. I like to go. I like to pay my ticket. I like to watch the pregame, kick that sucker off, and let's get after it. And then I want to watch a football game for 3 hours and forget about everything else. But that's not the norm. That's people of my generation. That's what we grew up on. That's how we enjoyed the game. And it's a different animal now. I'll give you a good case in point. Yesterday I took me and both my girls and my girlfriend, we went to the Greenville Drive game. Had a great time. Had a great time. Lozada put on a show. Blasted two home runs. He hit one over the dead center field, 420-yard feet. And it was still climbing when it went over the fence at 420 feet. They scored 12-plus runs. A lot of action going on. We were there 3 hours, and it was in the sixth inning. And I thought to myself, now, this is here. Imagine paying. I mean, the tickets were relatively inexpensive. Great seats right behind home plate. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, we've been here 3 hours, and we're only in the sixth inning. I couldn't imagine being at SunTrust Bank or some other bank or some other ballpark, and I've paid $80 for a seat. And it's the sixth inning, and I've been there 3 hours. That would drive me bananas. Now, that's baseball. Now, baseball, and we've talked about this, baseball's got a problem with the game itself in 2019. This is not 1920. And see, I think that's the other thing that sports in and of themselves are 50 years behind the times. Baseball is still played like it's 1920. Let me ask you something. What did people in the United States do with their free time in 1920? They didn't have television. They didn't have computers. They didn't have phones. They had maybe a radio. They had the only way to get information was either word of mouth or a newspaper. And so how did you connect with your community? What did you do? You went to Ebbets Field. You went to Yankee Stadium to see Babe Ruth, who you've read about. You went to the south side of Chicago to watch Shoeless Joe Jackson. It was an event that was an important part of the social gathering because that was social media in those days. Sporting events was social media before what social media, computers, television, and radio became. That's how people related to one another. Who's this Babe Ruth guy that I keep reading about in the paper? Oh, well, he's coming in on the train. He's going to play California today. Oh, well, let's go see him. And you went to the ballpark. Football is the same way. See, the thing that until sports, and I don't know how they're going to do it, it is a difficult thing when you are 50 years behind the times because of technology. Technology that covers the sport is 1,000 years ahead of where the sport is at. And until sports get that fixed, you're going to constantly see them decline other than soccer. This is Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back into this Monday, July 22nd, 2019 edition of Straight Up with Sturge. I am Josh Phillips sitting in for Mark Sturgis. He will be back in here tomorrow, so one more day. I thought last Friday was going to be my last day. Obviously, today will be. So hope everybody had a great weekend and is doing well and is being productive during their week. Patrick, you wanted to say something about the discussion we had. You want to join the discussion, 844-477-3776. Or hit us up on the Health Dare text line, text ESPN to 71307.
Well, first of all, I want to say that I didn't like the way you were looking at me when you were talking about it because you're insulting my generation, okay? You were looking directly at me when you were saying it. Didn't appreciate that. Looking at you.
Okay, well, how else are we supposed to... I mean, maintaining eye contact is not being insulting.
No, it's not. I was just trying to make a point.
Hold on, wait a minute.
To make you laugh. Yeah.
On, I'll send you a text.
Yeah, send me a text. Send me a mad emoji face, okay? Appreciate that. And of course, give me a second.
Go ahead, answer the phone line. he had to jump off air to answer the phone. But yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I thought Mark Ryan hit it on the head when it comes to conflict resolution, because when you confront it, the funniest thing is when you confront a millennial, they don't know how to handle that.
Okay. Yes, I do.
No, you don't, because
yes,
you
do.
Just took me looking. Because when I was trying
to make a joke to get you to laugh for once.
Yeah,
it's been somber in here ever since you walked through the door.
Well, it has because I'm pissed off, but that's for another time.
I'm trying to get you happy.
Yes, I know. You did that. You did the right way. But like, when I was raised, you look somebody in the eye, you shake their hand.
Absolutely.
And you let your yes be yes and your no be no.
Thank you.
End of discussion.
No, you're proving my point.
End of discussion.
The point I haven't even made yet. This is the point that I'm going to try to get at.
All right, well, let's get Mark in because he's holding in right now. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey, fellas. How are you this afternoon?
We're doing awesome.
Okay, good. I just want to talk a little college football with you.
Come on, let's do it.
I know this is – well, my son's going to Clemson, so I got to pull for Clemson.
No, you don't.
But I'm an App State grad. I finished in 84. And have always loved my Mountaineers, first and foremost. And so I just wanted to Josh your opinion on how we've made the transition from FCS to FBS. I mean, we've done about as good as I could have hoped for. Coach Satterfield moving to Louisville, what a great move for us. It's a great move for him. And I'm excited to see what we bring this year. We're bringing 19 starters back from an 11-win team. And I don't know. I'd like to see what our ceiling's going to be. I don't think a New Year's Day bowl's out of unheard of for somebody from the Sun Belt if we can go undefeated 1 year. I just wanted to get your opinion on stuff.
Sure, Mark. Thank you for the phone call. App State could be Central Florida. And
easy.
And the reason I say that is, and not many people will know this name, Jerry Moore. Now, obviously, Mark is an App State grad, so he's going to know who Jerry Moore is. Jerry Moore is the coach that literally built App State. He is the one that laid the foundation that has made App State what it is to this day. He was the one that Armani Edwards, remember that name? Played for the Panthers, was his quarterback when they won 3 straight national championships. Jerry Moore was the head coach when they went to Ann Arbor and upset 5th-ranked Michigan. And Jerry literally laid the foundation that Satterfield and Drinkwitz and these coaches that are there now that are reaping the rewards of. And to me, the ceiling for App State, I would not be surprised, Mark, if one day the ACC invited App State to come into the league. I would not be shocked.
Honestly, I would be more surprised if it happens 10 years down the road.
I wouldn't be shocked if it happened in the next 5.
No, what I'm saying is if it takes them 10 years to do that before giving them that invitation to come there, I would be genuinely surprised. I think App State,
if it took that long.
If it took that long.
Yeah, I agree.
App State is one of those teams that legitimately it just needs a major conference behind them, and they can compete with the big boys.
Yes.
Right now, as a Carolina fan, I am scared out of my mind for that App State game. That's the one game no one's talking about, and everyone kind of thinks around that time of the year it's a gimme. App State is nowhere close to a gimme.
No, absolutely not.
App State could defeat anybody, anywhere, anytime.
I'll say this for the South Carolina fans. The App State game will be tougher than the North Carolina game.
Absolutely.
I promise you.
I'll even go one step further. I think it'll be tougher than the Missouri game.
I don't know. Missouri's pretty good this year.
Just wait.
They're pretty good. They got a lot of returning guys. I mean, I hear what you're saying, and I wouldn't be shocked if that happened.
I think the time of the year when they're playing.
That's fair. Yeah, that's very fair. But, Mark, honestly, App State could be if they stay at the people are calling it the Little League level. I don't consider it that. Ask Auburn when they played Central Florida. But App State could be another Central Florida that went on a 20, 25, 30-game win streak where they beat a couple of Power 5 schools. And again, I would not be shocked if – I'm like Patrick. If it takes 10 years, then the ACC's stupid because the league would get stronger with App State in it more so than they would with Wake Forest and Duke.
I agree.
I mean, App State as a football program – is a lot more difficult, would be bring more to the ACC than Duke, Wake Forest, Boston College, maybe even NC State. I mean, because let's be honest, what the heck has the North Carolina schools added to the ACC in the last 25 years? When has a North Carolina school been relevant in the ACC in the last 25 years? I'll wait because it's going to be a long wait.
I mean, the only time you can really kind of think is Duke, whenever they went to the ACC championship, just to get embarrassed by Florida State.
Correct.
That's basically been the only time.
Right, because the Coastal Division was such a train wreck that they somehow limped their way into it, and then Florida State mopped the floor with them.
Exactly.
Exactly. So, I mean, App State would be an upgrade compared to those other ones, and I could see it. Now, the question is going to be, does the ACC want to bring in App State from a conference standpoint because there's some built-in advantages for App State that the rest of the league does not have from a recruiting standpoint? And as far as the type of academic athlete App State can get into school that literally I doubt any of the other schools can do.
I mean, what I'm also going to say is App State would bring a new dynamic to the ACC. They play football differently than what most ACC teams do. They'd be a different challenge that a lot of people would have trouble with the first few years.
Sure.
Because no one knows how they play. No one's comfortable with their style. So for me, if App State ever does make that move to the ACC or any other conference, I think they could be one of those teams in the first few years to just tear a new hole into that conference and be like, okay, we're making our name here. We're helping recruiting down the line, and then we're just going to stay at this level.
Yeah, the ACC made an enormous mistake during the realignment without, in my estimation, without making a concerted push to get Penn State. The ACC needed Penn State. Now, they've got Notre Dame in this pseudo half in, half out. And look, the truth of the matter is the only reason Notre Dame made that deal with the ACC, because when the Power Five conferences break away from the NCAA, and get ready, it's going to happen. I've been preaching this. It's coming. I've been preaching this for many a year. There's going to come a point where the Power Five leagues break away from the NCAA and do their own thing. When that happens, Notre Dame will have to be in a league. Otherwise, they will be left out, and they're not going to be left out. They are not going to be left into an NCAA pseudo whatever, and Alabama, Clemson, Nebraska, USC, Michigan, Ohio State, and all of them are gone. And they're in a totally different era. Okay, so Notre Dame did that with a lot of forethought that when this thing falls apart, and look, every year it's falling apart for the NCAA. The NCAA is worthless, quite honestly, now in college football, because literally the only thing it manages are the mid-majors and the FCS. That's it. The NCAA has nothing to do with major college athletics. Nothing. All of the leverage is in favor of the leagues. And every year, as the NCAA tournament gets bigger and basketball, certainly as a here's why they don't want to expand the college football playoff, because here's what people need to understand: the moment that the college football playoff goes to 8 teams, the NCAA is dead. It is dead. And the NCAA does not want to lose that revenue yet. But if they keep going along the path that they're going, it's not going to matter. They're dying a slow death. And there's no way to avoid it. Because as this thing, you've got the Paul Feinbaums, the Tim Brandos, the Josh Phillipses, the Patrick Browns that say, hey, this college football playoff with 4 teams sucks. We want to see more and more teams. Well, guess what? When you do that, just put the tombstone down in Clemson in their graveyard that says NCAA died on this date. This is Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back into this July 22nd, 2019 edition of Straight Up with Sturge. I am Josh Phillips sitting in for Mark Sturgis, who will be back tomorrow as we motor on with the show today. Patrick, you wanted to say something in the last segment?
Going back to what you first said about the cell phones and the millennials and they're causing all the problems that's wrong with college football.
I didn't say they were causing problems. I said college football's got to change.
I agree with that.
All the sports have to change.
I agree.
Except soccer.
What? Yes, it does.
I don't think so.
We'll get back to that later, okay?
Okay.
But the thing is I think it's legitimately where you were brought up. Because, see, you said it down here. Down here in the South, especially in South Carolina, it's a different culture on Friday, Saturday, and Sundays. Friday nights, we go to high school football. Saturday, we go to college. If we can't watch the college football games or we can't physically go there, we'll watch them at home. We won't do anything else but watch that game. We will pregame for it. We'll postgame for it. All of that. The thing that I have a problem with is that it was a Northwestern coach that brought it up.
Why?
because he's complaining about attendance when his team hasn't been producing well. Now, here's the thing. It's a Northern State team, okay?
I don't necessarily took it that he was complaining. He got asked a question, and he gave his opinion.
And he went on a rant. Now, the thing is should we take this, you know, as the purest form that, yes, this is exactly what's wrong with college football? No. No, we shouldn't. Because the thing is, there are other things wrong with the sport. This happens to be a northern part of the country that doesn't do things the same way we do it down here. Okay?
Well, one of the things that doesn't get talked about enough is people are trying to do away with the game of football. I disagree with that.
I disagree with people trying to do that.
Well, they're doing it. Well, you can disagree with all you want, but they're doing it. In the Northeast, and what I mean by the Northeast, I'm talking about Delaware, Washington, D.C., Connecticut,
Vermont,
New Hampshire, Massachusetts. Okay? They are starting to institute where you don't have pads and a helmet.
So rugby.
No. No, it's a ball and it's a version of two-hand touch. Okay? They are totally, especially at the youth level. There are approximately, I want to say around 300 to 500 youth league football associations through Massachusetts that you do not put a helmet and shoulder pads on. That you literally have to wait until you get to high school. And I see, the thing that's funny to me is this is an area of the country that hockey is a religion.
Yeah.
And hockey is football on ice.
I think hockey's more
It is
violent.
A lot more violent.
If you don't believe me, Zdeno Chara for the Bruins had a broken jaw for 90% of the Stanley Cup final.
Yes.
And he played. Okay? Don't come here and tell me, oh, football's way more violent. No, it's not. Hockey is downright deadly.
Well, see, here's the problem that football has. Football is not understood. It's so unique to the United States that it scares foreigners. It literally, the game itself literally scares foreigners. Now, when the NFL, that's why the NFL is making this concerted effort to play. The NFL's not going over to London and Mexico City and China because they just love the game and they want to do it. No, the NFL understands that as our world and as our country becomes more and more and more diversified, you have to explain that to the world. Okay, I'll give you a case in point. Where I'm at Blue Ridge High School, okay, we've got some really, really good football players that are not playing football. And the reason they're not playing football is because their mom and dad is from another country, and it scares them. So they would rather play what? Soccer. Because soccer is the world's game. People understand soccer. You can literally go anywhere in the world and you mention the game. Now, you'll have to change your accent. You'll have to call it football or whatever. But the moment you say that, no matter where you're at in the world, people are going to understand what you're talking about. If you go anywhere in the world and you talk about American football, they're going to look at you like you got three heads. What? That's why in the United States, soccer is I'm telling you, within 5 years, MLS is going to be more popular than Major League Baseball. It's coming. And it's going to Now, here's what's crazy. And Patrick always gets a little on his ear when I start to say things out there on the margin, like I did last week. If the game of football in the United States that we know and love doesn't adapt and change, within 15 years, soccer will be more popular than the NFL.
I agree with that.
And it will become our country's most dominant sport. More people will go to soccer games than they will football games. Look, football in our country now is dying, and there is a concerted effort by certain legislatures to go after it and take it out because of the concussion situation.
But again, that...
Now, it's total BS. It's total BS. Studies have absolutely shown that lacrosse, soccer, and hockey is 10 times more dangerous athletically and to the brain than American football is. But that's not the narrative.
No.
Okay? I mean, that's not the sport that can be... See, here's the other thing about football. It's... Outside of the United States, it's not very inclusive, because again, people don't understand it. Outside of the United States, basketball, soccer, and cricket is more popular than our brand of football. In the NFL, the reason the NFL and Roger Goodell are taking football to London and Mexico City and China, they're trying to immerse people in what it is because they're trying to save the game. Because on the high school level, it's atrocious at how people are not playing the game like they were. Every year, 30, 35, 40%, it's declining in participation at the high school level. My question is, what's going to happen when it gets to 60, 70%? What are you going to do? Now, the bigger schools that have had kind of a history of success, not so much. But even at those schools, you're seeing a decline. Whereas on some rosters at a 4A high school, 20 years ago, you might would have had 60 to 70 on the roster. You're fighting your tail off to get 40 to 50 now. And Dabo Swinney thinks he's got a problem at the 86 scholarship limit. Yeah, try being a high school coach. This is straight up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate. Welcome back in to Straight Up with Sturge on this Monday, July 22nd, 2019 edition of Straight Up with Sturge. I am Josh Phillips sitting in for Mark Sturgeon. If you want to join the discussion, 844-477-3776 is the call-in line, or hit us up on the Health Dare text line, text ESPN to 71307. Some Major League Baseball news as we get closer and closer to the end of the season. The Braves won again. They are now 6.5 games up on the Nationals in the National League East, and they have positioned themselves. They've got the second best record in the National League, only behind them smoking Dodgers. The Dodgers are just on fire. And quite honestly, I think we're looking at this year's World Series champ. I think the Dodgers are on a mission from last year. Patrick is over there disagreeing with me. I think this year the Dodgers are on a mission after that debacle in the World Series last year. And I think they want to leave no doubt as to who's going to win it. Quite honestly, they need to. That team is too talented. The pitching staff has gone too well. And quite honestly, Kershaw needs to get the moniker that I labeled him with as the Peyton Manning of Major League Baseball. To me, that's who Kershaw is. He does well during the regular season, choke job come playoff time.
I agree.
And until he does something come the postseason, that's going to stick. And look, I love Kershaw. I love watching him pitch. I think he's a throwback to a bygone era. And I think he's a pitcher that can go out there and pitch you 9 innings, get 3 days rest, turn around, do it again. Now, in today's analytics of Major League Baseball, that's unheard of, but I think he is that type of guy. But I'm going to go ahead and call it now in July.
Okay.
I'm going to say it's going to be the Astros and the Dodgers in the World Series. That's my pick.
All right. So you say Astros-Dodgers World Series.
Yes.
I will take your Astros-Dodgers, and I will keep the Astros.
Over the Twins. Twins getting a lot of love, rightfully so.
The Twins have they have some good hitting. They have some good hitters. But the thing is, I worry about their inconsistency sometimes. The Astros, we know they can do it. Right now, they're winners of five straight. We know that they can do it. Yankees look pretty good right now, getting everyone healthy back again. It's more their bullpen is what I'm worried about.
Well, and Aaron Boone. See, here's what I'm going to enjoy about, and let me say this, as Red Sox fans, I hope the Red Sox don't even make the wild card. I don't want them nowhere. I don't want them anywhere near the playoff. Just stay home. Just stay home. I don't want the Red Sox going in the playoffs with this team. This team drives me nuts. Drives me bananas. And they won't be the ones to do it, but Aaron Boone's going to cost the Yankees when he has to go against a Hinch or a Stewart or somebody of that's actually a manager that knows how to call a game in the postseason, he's going to get outclassed. And Yankees fans are going to be looking at each other going, what just happened? We've got a World Series team and we didn't make the World Series. Well, yeah, because your manager sucks. Go ahead.
I was just wondering, who do you have as a dark horse in baseball right now?
A dark horse in the National League, it's the Braves.
I think in postseason it will be the Braves.
I think the Braves they're my dark horse to come out of the National League to go to the World Series. Now,
I can see that.
Do I think they will make it? Probably not. I think the Dodgers are just too strong. The Cubs are just too strong. They both know how to win. See, here's the problem with the Braves, and here's the problem with the National League East. No team out of that division, it's been so long since they've tasted deep postseason success that how are you going to win when you get in that situation? And you're looking over there at Kershaw, and you're looking over there at the Cubs. Will I be pulling for the Braves? Yes. I'll be pulling for the Braves to come out of the National League.
I think it's the one thing that we're kind of looking at and going, saying, okay, if they can get past round one.
I tell you another team to watch out for.
Go ahead.
The Brewers.
See, I was going to go A's.
See, to me, in the National – well, I'm in the National League right now.
Okay. Well, I was going AL.
I got you. In the National League, the Brewers are one of those teams that could sneak in through the wild card and get streaky, and then the next thing you know, they're in the World Series. Now, I'm not saying that they are. I'm just saying they're one of those streaky teams that could get on a hot streak and string together a couple of series and play out of their mind. That's just the way they're built. Do I think they will? No. I'm going with the Dodgers. I say the Dodgers come out of the National League, go to the World Series.
I'm going to go with the Braves only if they win the first series. If they win the first series, I feel like that momentum and that high is just going to carry them throughout the whole postseason.
I'm going to look at the wild card, but if I had to pick a dark horse out of the wild card, how about the surprising Tampa Bay Rays? This is Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.